Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God as we celebrate the Word of God together. It is an honor and a privilege for us to gather together, to come and explore the Word of God together. God has afforded us this opportunity, and we're taking advantage of it. The title of our lesson today is, We Are God's Masterpiece. It's coming from the book of Ephesians, the second chapter, the 8th through the 10th verse. And as always, we like to play a song. And since we're talking about on tonight, hallelujah. I thought it would be appropriate to play We Come This Far by Faith, because faith is what carries us through. Faith is the fuel that directs our lives into righteousness. Faith is what allows us to hold on in the midst of a storm. Faith is trusting God at his word. When you say you have faith, you trust that God knows best. See, when we take and put our hand in it and try to fix it, turn it around, we're taking it away from God. But when we trust God, bring it to him in prayer and leave it there, he said that he would work it out. At this time, I'm going to play this song, and we're going to come back and go to the throne of grace.
And they were singing a song that was something like this. They said, you know,
Leaning on the Lord.
And it's so amazing because when I look back over my life and I think things over, I can truly say that I am blessed and God has given me a testimony. But besides that, I really look at the events in my life where one and one really wasn't producing the number two. Many times the money didn't add up to the bills. You know, sometimes the education that was needed that I didn't have, I was able to get the jobs and I was able to excel. You know, so when I look back over my life, I know it was grace, unmerited favor from God. And I knew it was by faith, because faith allows us to have grace. So I realized that my life was a faith-filled by grace life. And I can thank God for it. I praise his holy name. I lift up the name of Jesus, realizing it's not because of me, but everything is by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus. We have to understand that in life, y'all. You wasn't the smartest. You wasn't the most educated. You might have not even been the prettiest, but God brought you through danger seen and unseen over and over and over again. And that's why we begin to praise him and lift up the name of Jesus when we, every chance we get. God didn't leave us nor forsake us, and he didn't bring us this far to leave us. So we have to hold on, because we come this far by faith. And let faith be the fuel that guides you the rest of the way. Don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted. Everything you are is because of God. Everything you're able to do. You could just think about one simple thing. If God didn't give us breath, we wouldn't be living. It's all by God's grace. All things through Christ Jesus that we are who we are. And it may not be everything that we thought it would be at this time and stage in our lives. But God wants all of us to know tonight that his grace is sufficient. Not for some things. Grace is sufficient for your health. Grace is sufficient for your wealth. Grace is sufficient for what you're going through with your family. Grace is sufficient for your children. Grace is sufficient. Everything on this side of the earth, and your faith by grace, it's going to bring you through eternity. We can't lose with what God used, y'all. And it just still amazed me how someone wouldn't serve a God like that. And at this time, it's time for us. Anyone who would like to pray at this time, can press the one button on your phone. We have to realize, and we're going to see in our lesson tonight, that God affords the opportunities for us to do what he has created us to do. Every time the opportunity is presented by God. And it's no different on tonight. So if anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone and I'll open your mic. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, to give up every perfect gift, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our High Tower, our Rock, our Sword, and our Shield. Dear Heavenly Father, right now I bow before your throne of grace, and I realize that mercy can be found. And Lord, I thank you for everything you've done, doing, and promised to do in our lives. God, I thank you for your Son that you allow to die that we may live. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that you allow to live and dwell inside of us, to comfort us, to guide us, to protect us. I thank you, dear God, for who you are. You're merciful, gracious, long-suffering with us, dear God. You love us more than we could ever love ourselves. And God, you gave us your word that we could use as our moral compass to go through this thing called life. Lord, we live on this earth that's full of evil, this world that's full of evil, dear God. Darkness is reigning and rampant on all sides. But God, you say that those who accepted your son that became a part of the body of Christ, partakers of the household of faith, that we will live here in the realm of the Most High God in your kingdom. And I thank you, dear God, that we are on earth, but we're not of the earth. And I thank you, dear God. I thank you for your divine protection. I thank you for your many provisions. And I thank you most of all, God, because you love us, that you gave your son. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, and thank God. Well, it's time for us to go into the Word of God. I think the lesson tonight is going to be a refresher for many. And if someone don't know the information, I pray that the Holy Spirit would give them illumination that it is true, and they may make a decision to follow God. Well, again, our lesson are, we are God's masterpiece. All of us know that artists and people who create and things that's unique and one of a kind, and they look at it and they say, this is a masterpiece. Well, I want you to realize that that's how God created you, our God's masterpiece. Each and every one of us, no two are alike. Hallelujah. Everything have a specific purpose and a design. And God didn't make no mistakes. So I'm going to do a little background, and it's going to be on grace. Because if you had a chance to read the lesson, you knew they say it was talking about grace. But before we can discuss grace, we must first examine the need for it. You know, we talk all of this about grace. Do you really understand what grace, that grace is necessary for you, and why? And what do grace do for you? You know, it gets, you know, we have so many things that we say, and we have said them so many times, but never thought about what it means and what it means to us. So we're going to examine the need for it, grace, and we're going to see how we receive it and how grace was bestowed upon us. By whom? You see, and I'm going to go back, y'all, follow me. In the beginning, God created everything, and the Bible says it was good. Because Genesis 1 and 31 says, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Genesis 31 is the last verse in the first chapter of Genesis. God had created all things. He stepped back, he looked at it, and he said it was good. And you would have to go up a little bit further, because that was the 31st. And if you go to Genesis 1 and 15, the Lord took man and put him in a garden of Eden and dressed it and to keep it. And God commanded them, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may eat freely, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. God gave the command, and he gave it in the middle of Genesis, and he stepped back at the end of Genesis. And then you see, when we get to the second chapter of Genesis, I don't know if you guys ever paid attention to it, and a lot of theologians and things are going out around the world, and it has been from the beginning of time. And this is the way, the thing that many atheists decide to say that the Bible contradicts itself. Because you see, in Genesis 1, God created everything. And when you get to Genesis 2, if you look at the verse, he say, this is the generation of everything that he did. In other words, God is recapping what he had did in Genesis 1. So they want to say, he said this here, and he said it. He's only doing a recap of Genesis 1. Check it out for yourself and you'll see. So that's what happened in the beginning. First chapter, God created everything. Man gave him a command not to do. Second chapter, he recapped the first chapter. And then the beginning of the third chapter, up jumped the devil. He told Eve a lie. He said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. That script, y'all, that's what he told her. But the woman turned around in Genesis 3 and 2 and said, the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But verse 3, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, thou shalt not eat of it, neither shall I touch it, lest I die. And verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now this is the third chapter, y'all. God created everything in the first chapter. He recapped the first chapter in the second chapter. And now we're on the third chapter. Up jumps the devil. In verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Verse 5, for God doeth know that in the day that thou eat, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. That's when Satan surfaced, y'all. Now, y'all got to remember and paint a picture for yourself. The Garden of Eden was beautiful. They had everything they needed. They didn't work. They was naked. They didn't feel no shame of being naked because everything was innocent. And they had it going on. And the fruit that they ate, because they was vegetarians, the fruit and things they ate, they didn't have to plant the tree. God had provided everything. And now we're going to see what man decided to do. Now, I'm in Genesis, the third chapter, and I'm only on the sixth verse. And that's when man sinned. I don't know if you ever paid attention or you thought about it that much. God created the world. First chapter of Genesis. Second chapter, recap your second first chapter. By the third chapter of Genesis, man sinned. That's early, huh, y'all? And verse 6 said, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took up the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. The beginning of sin, y'all. The sixth chapter, the sixth verse in the third chapter of Genesis. But we have to realize that God had already told them that if they eat, which was disobedience to God, which is sin, and that sin carried a debt penalty. That's already established. God said it. The 15th verse in the chapter. Now, sin had entered the world, and the penalty of death for sin was established, and it established debt to all mankind. Now you know why we all have to die. You see, even though Jesus came and took away the sins of the world, the penalty for, God didn't erase the penalty. The penalty of that sin, which is death, is why we all die. That's why, y'all. And then when we look at it, you see, Adam saw that Eve didn't die immediately. So he must have even thought that Satan might be right. So he ate. He didn't have to, but he made the choice to eat. And you see, this is what you got to understand. They didn't die a physical death immediately. But in their limited wisdom and knowledge, they didn't understand that they died a spiritual death at that time, immediately. So y'all need to know that. Death is the penalty for the sin that Adam and Eve committed. That death penalty was not taken away. Everybody that's born got to die because of the sin. So understand that. Adam and Eve did what they did. They didn't die a physical death immediately, but they died a spiritual death immediately. And what happened, all innocence was gone. If y'all know anything about the story, they realized after they ate and sinned into the world and all innocence was gone, they realized they was naked and began to hide from God. They had taken the innocence and the purity of how God had fixed it up for mankind. They destroyed. They destroyed it. They was living in a dispensation of time of innocence. And after they sinned, it was the dispensation, if you're familiar with the seven dispensations of time, of conscience. They became spiritual dead. And the physical death that was the consequences of that sin is here, and it was then now waiting. Watch this, y'all. Waiting for God to decide when. See, they brought it in the world, but God has the control to say when everybody dies. That's why we say you're not going before your time, and God has established a time before the foundation of the world for all of us to die. God didn't let Satan have that control because all of us would be dead, y'all. That's why they say Satan can't take your life. He can't kill you. But God decides when we die, where, and how. So we don't know when, where, or how we're going to die. But tonight I'm letting you know the reason why we have to die. Because after sin entered the world and all of us was destined to go to hell and live eternally, and God stepped up and made a way out of no way. And so now we have to die in order to live eternally with God. And if y'all stuck on it a little bit, remember at the end we're going to ask questions if you want. And we could go with some more of this because I have a lot more, but I just don't have time for all of it. But the information is in my heart. You see, sin has now separated us from God, which was not the way that God planned it. Hallelujah. So by the third chapter, God, through his master plan, and that's why I'm saying through his master plan, because before Genesis 1, God had a master plan before the foundation of the world. And see, so now the third chapter, since man fell, God, through his master plan that he had before the foundation of the world, offered us a way to escape. Remember this, God knew that man would sin. He knew they would sin then, and he knew they would still be sinning now. Don't get it twisted. God is all-knowing. So soon as man sinned, because God's purpose was to live with mankind in harmony and have a relationship and fellowship with him, and when sin came, it severed that. And It separated us. But watch this. I'm still in the third chapter of this Genesis. Man just not failed. In Genesis, the 15th chapter in the third verse, God made this statement. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That's the first prophecy, y'all. God was saying that he was going to send a son. He was going to send his son that could take away the sins of the world. He didn't wait till the book of Revelation. He introduced the foreshadowing of Jesus Christ in Genesis, the third chapter, the 15th verse. Now, I'll read it again. And he said, I will put, God saying, I'm going to make enemies. Enmity is enmity between thee, talking about the devil, his demons, and the woman. Between her seed, between his seeds is his imp, the demons, and her seed, the believers in Jesus Christ. It shall bruise thy head, talking about Satan. God said, when it's all said and done, my boy gonna take you out. He said, he's gonna bruise your head. He said it, and then it went on to say, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Well, we know they nailed Jesus' ankles, and his heel was up against the rugged cross. But I could tell you this, a bruised heel can heal, but a hard enough blow to the head is no coming back. And we know how the story ends. You see, there was nothing we could do in and of ourselves to ever be able to save ourselves. We got to get that straight, y'all. You can't be good enough. You can't read enough. You can't study enough. You can't give enough. You can't know enough. You can't be kind enough to save yourself. Because when sin entered the world, we receive a sin nature. And with a sin nature, we had no righteousness. But when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, God extends his righteousness towards us that allows us to come and stand before a holy God, that allows us to accept his Son and be able to live eternally in eternity. You can't do it on your own. So I'm going to give you the big picture now, how God has accomplished all of this. And one was grace, and the other is mercy. You see, grace is the unearned gift that the Father gives his children. The Lord relates to us by his grace. God has provided salvation to all who come to him. Even though we deserve destruction. Come on, y'all. God knew that man he created was sin. He knew it. So he said, I got to give him something. Grace. And then he turned around and showered us with mercy. And all of this he knew before the foundation of the world. Because there's some scripture that could help you to understand that. You see, if you go to John 17 and 24, it says, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Y'all know in Psalms 139, God said, I took and put my hands in your mother's womb and formed you. I even know the number of hairs on your head. Before the foundation of the world, y'all. You see, mercy is God withholding the punishment we deserve because of our sinfulness. You see, the concept of sin is death. Yet Jesus paid that penalty for us. If it wasn't for God's mercy, thank God for mercy, y'all, you would not be here. We are all deserving of judgment, of destruction, punishment, and most of all, condemnation. I gave that little background of grace and mercy and why, how we needed it and how it got to be. But now you will see how to receive it. And we're going to go into the lesson. We're in Ephesians, the second chapter. And I'm going to start right here at the 8th verse. And the verse reads, "For by grace you are saved through faith." Now, let's just read that again. You know, we can't get to heaven without accepting Jesus. And we can't accept him without faith. And if we don't accept him, we don't have faith, then grace is attached with Jesus. So if you don't have Jesus, you don't have grace. Get it, y'all? For by grace are we saved through faith. And that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. It is a gift. You didn't buy a gift. You didn't work for a gift. It's a gift. So don't ever get it twisted. You see, God made a way for us to be saved, and it's called grace, which you can only achieve through faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And I want to say that again, in Jesus Christ alone, because there's so many things that people put bondage on you. If you don't go to church, you ain't going to be saved. You don't get baptized, you ain't going to get saved. If you don't do this, and the Jews was telling the Gentiles, if you don't get circumcised, they always added all of these things to the gift that God has given us. But we receive it through faith by Jesus Christ alone, y'all. Alone. So don't let nobody tell you you got to study the word 7 times a day to be saved. You got to pray, you know, this and that. People enjoy adding stuff to it. They really do. But that's why I'm telling you, it's Jesus Christ, and it's Jesus Christ alone. God made Jesus the way. You see, Jesus is the only way, and with Jesus, nothing is needed. You see, grace is the most important concept of the Bible, Christianity, and the world. It is most clearly expressed and the promise of God revealed in his scripture. God tell you in his word, I'll make you the head and not the tail. Everyone who call upon the name of Jesus will be saved. I'll make your enemies for your footstool. I'm going to work all things out together for your good. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The promises of God in his word. And if you don't know the word of God, you don't know the promises. So you might can't be loving on God like someone else because they understand the promises and they see the manifestation in their life and they love on them more. You see, everything I do, everything I am, everything I will be, it's all because of God's grace. All things through Christ Jesus. You know, God loved the world and he sent his son. You see, grace is the love of God shown to the loveless, the peace of God given to the restless, and the unmerited favor of God to the hopeless. You see, the Father gave his son the punishment. Jesus took all of our sins upon us when he was nailed to the cross. And that's a heavy burden. That's why when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and they was coming to arrest him, and they say his sweat was popping off him like blood. People want to say it was blood, but the scripture say as drops of blood. And Jesus himself told his Father, Father, if there's any way that, is there any other way that this can take place? please remove this cup from me. He said, but God, not my will, but your will. See, God, Jesus knew how he was going to feel with all the filthiness that we do and sin was going to be on him. And then he knew because sin, when he took the sins of the world on him for a while, he was going to have to be separated from his father, who he had never been separated from before. I'm talking about what Jesus gave up for us, y'all. You see, we are all under the curse of sin when we were born. And we live in a fallen world that is under the curse of sin. And I want to tell you tonight it's going to be that way until Jesus comes back for us, which is known as the rapture. He's going to meet us in the sky, and he's going to take off these corruptible bodies and give us incorruptible bodies. But the presence of sin is going to be with us until we are changed. Sin brings the penalty of death and a guarantee that you will live eternity in hell. It separated us from God and ultimately leads us to death. Oh, but salvation saves us from these same things. And it guarantees us eternal life in heaven with God. All things through Christ Jesus. When we accept his gift of grace, it validates us and frees us from the power of sin. We are no longer separated from God or sentenced to hell because his grace covers us and makes us sinless in his sight. God say, once you accept my son, when I look at you, I no longer see your sin. I could only see my son. And we accepted, and we must accept the gift of his eternal salvation. But we can only receive it by grace. And you can't receive the grace without faith. Hallelujah. And if we look at the last two scriptures in the printed text, it says, now watch this. Watch how exciting this is written. We talked about grace and being saved and the gift of God. But look what he turned back around, the writer of this text, in verse 9. And look what he says. He's letting us know, not of works. He said, I done already told you how you get grace. He's saying, I want you to know that Jesus paid the price all to him we owe. God, in his ultimate wisdom, before the foundation of the world, knew man was sin, and he had a way for us. Hallelujah. So he come in verse 9 and say, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, God didn't do anything. He didn't create anything. He didn't leave anything where man could say, yeah, God, all right, but I did this. Yeah, God might have da-da-da-da, but I did this. So many people walking around say they self-made man, men or women. Can they give themselves bread? So ain't no such thing as self-made man or woman. The Bible says right here, not of works, lest any man boast. And verse 10 says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good work, which God has before ordained that we should walk in it. So look at this. This is like an A, B, and C. He told us about grace. He told us how we get it. He told us it was free. He told us it came to God, from God. Now he tells us, I don't want you to think that you could get it by working. Turns around in 10 to say, we were created to do good work. So, you know, you might say it's contradiction, like you don't have to, you can't get it by work. But yet you're telling me that I'm the workmanship of God, by God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in. We receive salvation by grace. By grace through faith. We can't work for it. We can't earn it. The Bible says we all fall short of the glory of God. We all sin and fall short. And the Bible also says our works are as filthy rags. So you got to be mature enough and understand what's going on here. He's saying your salvation definitely ain't going to come from works. So let's get that straight. And then he tells us no man has anything to boast about. We got that straight. Then we get in 10 and they say we are God's workmanship, which is his prized possession, his masterpiece. And he created us in Christ Jesus once we accept Christ to do good work. And he ordained the work that we have to do before the foundation of the world. I'm going to say it one more time. We can't be saved by works. You have nothing to boast about. I don't care if you read the Bible 3 times a week, the entire Bible. There's nothing to boast about. And we are made by God. We are his workmanship, his unique creation. And before the foundation of the world, he gave all of us a purpose and a design, and he ordained the work that we should do for him. That's plain and simple. That's why I always say, every time the opportunity comes for you to serve or do something for God, the opportunity is presented by God. You see, and God presents the opportunity, and God creates the work for you, because he's not going to ask you to do the work that he asked me to do. And he's not going to ask me to he's not going to ask me to do the work you do. He's not going to ask you to do the work I do. See, God gave all of us certain gifts and talents, and God never set us up to fail. But God has given each and every one of us something that we could do, and how he knows this, and it ain't no guessing in the game. Because the scripture right here says, God had ordained that we should walk in them before the foundation of the world. So nobody have an excuse why they ain't did whatever. The Bible says, a shepherd knows his sheep. A sheep knows his shepherd's voice. Many times, God, you might be going in the grocery store and God told you to hold the door open for the next person. That's works, y'all. But you see, so many people so into themselves and they're so isolated and they don't want to be bothered and they don't want to this and they're only concerned about the people in their household. And I'm not talking about you doing something, giving $1 million to the special children or anything like that. It might be one day you get up and a garbage man is outside and it's hot and he tell you give him a bottle of water. Everybody has something to do. You see, and the danger is many religions teach that salvation is achieved by things that you can do, which is works or deeds. You know, they imply that you can be good enough to earn your own salvation. That's what the Muslims say. Just do what's right and keep being right and be good enough. But if one of them sit down and overeat, that's a sin. I want to tell them if they don't know it. Hallelujah. If one of them gossip about somebody, then if one tell a lie, then. But anyway, they say they could be good enough to earn it. Or that if they are sorry enough for, you know, their bad actions, if I could just be sorry enough, everything would be okay. That's not the way God planned it, y'all. No matter how good your intentions or actions are, they are not enough for you to save yourself. You see, and everybody have good intentions, and there's some people that do good. I use this little thing all the time. I say, you know, you might have a neighbor that lives next door, and every Sunday you get up to go to church, the neighbor is outside cutting their grass up, you know, whatever. The neighbor might sweep the whole street. The neighbor's just a good man. The neighbor, you know, is always seen saying nice things and doing nice things. He take and pick up all the garbage cans after the trash man passed. You know, maybe one time you saw the neighbor bringing some food to some people you know who had just lost their job. You see, that neighbor is good. He has very good intentions. But I want to let you know tonight that he won't go to hell for what he did. He's going to go to hell for what he didn't do. He didn't accept the gift of salvation from God that the Holy Ghost was trying to deliver. The Bible says no one can get to the Father unless they come through the Son. And that's word. You see, then there are some who love God. They love God, but they never accept his Son. You know, their religion teach that Jesus is a prophet and a good teacher. And they're not concerned about him as a savior because they think they could save themselves. Trick of the enemy, y'all. John 14 and 6 said, and it's Jesus talking, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except through me. I told you that salvation is only given in grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ alone, by grace, through Jesus Christ, period. And that's what our faith believes. That's what Christianity believes. Now, this is the other part. Now, while the scriptures say we should do good works, and I'm a condensed this part, because I could go on forever and ever. The scriptures say we should do good works. When God created man, he told his Son in the Spirit, let us create man in our own image. Then we saw Jesus walk the earth. Well, he was here 30 years, but he had a ministry for 3 years. And you saw what he did. He healed the sick. He fed the hungry. He did work. And he wanted to give us an example how to do works. So works is expected, but works doesn't get your salvation. While the scripture says we should do good works, but not as a means to achieve salvation. Remember that, y'all. And this one is key. Works follows salvation. It's not before. Hey, follow salvation. Before you were saved, you weren't even thinking about doing no good works and being no good to nobody. But once you received your salvation and the Holy Ghost came and lived inside of you and you were appreciative of what God the Father and the Son has done for you, that should make you want to work. So work follows salvation. It is not before. You don't do work. None of us is doing good work to be saved. And if you are, I mean, realize probably that you're already saved and you're doing the work to please the Father. But we don't work to be saved. But once we are saved and realize the price that Jesus paid for our sins by his death, burial, and resurrection, we should want to do the work. And I want to let you know that only those works that you do for Christ It's going to last. It's going to follow you in eternity. And I'm going to leave you with this. We are God's masterpiece. We are his workmanship, created unto good works. God invested a lot in us, y'all. He gave us gifts, talents, resources, abilities. Come on, y'all. Look at the people who sing. Who gave him the voice? God invested a lot in us, even with the death of his son. And I want you to know tonight, as I close, God is looking for a return on his investment. And that's our lesson for tonight. And I will be pleased to take any questions up that anyone may have. And if you got something in your mind that you need to know, it makes no sense not to ask it. So if anyone would like to ask anything, say anything, give encouragement or anything, you could press the one button on your phone. Well, everybody must be all right. And I thank God for that. And that's our lesson for tonight. And at this time, we'll have a benediction and we'll close for this evening. And I want to let you know that God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think by the grace of Christ Jesus. And that's it for tonight. And if it's God's will and your desire, we'll meet back on next week, which is going to be the first Wednesday in June. Time is passing, y'all. Calling your number is 985-774. Sister Diane, your mic is open.
Hi, Sister Diane. I just want to ask a question about do you sleep or are you actually with God? Can you hear me?
Yeah, baby, I can hear you.
Okay. I wanted to ask that, and I want everybody to pray for our kids and everything that and remember Floyd today. And my kids has been through things too, and I think the police officers need different rules or something. They or maybe morals. I don't know. Maybe conscience. I don't know. But I want everybody to remember. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I didn't say anything. I'm listening to you.
No, and you know, I just want to bless you for everything you do for us, and our little phone community, it's very nice. And I enjoy you. And I just thank you so much. Okay, good night.
I thank you. What was your question?
Oh, do you sleep when you die? Or immediately are you with the Father?
You sleep. You'll be in the presence of God, but will you be in heaven at his throne? No, not then.
But at least I'll be in his presence, so that's a good thing.
Yes.
Thank you, Sister Diane.
You're welcome. And I thank you so much, my sister, for the encouragement. Anyone else? I'm gonna I'm going to ask Sister Pam, since the request came up for our youth and the Floyd family and stuff, can you give us a prayer before we leave off?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come on this night thanking you, first of all, God, for your darling son, Jesus. Father God, I thank you for our sister in Christ and our teacher, Minister Diane. Oh, Lord, I thank you for her. I ask that you continue to bless her and anoint her, that she bring forth your word each and every Wednesday to us. And I pray that somebody on this line tonight accept that word and that you needed the word that they heard tonight. And Father God, I ask you to please continue to bless our Bible study, Lord Jesus. And I ask you to bless and pray and touch the hearts, the mind, the body, and the soul of each and every person that's on this line tonight. However they coming, on the telephone, internet, whichever way that they coming, Lord Jesus, I ask you to just touch them, because somebody tonight needed to hear that word. Somebody tonight needed to hear that word that was brought forth on this night. Somebody may be shy and don't want to talk and got a question that they need to ask. But I'm here right now to tell you tonight, God is listening. He has opened up this phone line for us for a reason. He has our sister, Minister Diane, here on Wednesday nights, every Wednesday night for us. This is our Bible study. And you don't have to be shy. You don't have to be afraid. We can't see your faces. So if you have a question of anything that you need to ask, ask it. Because God is waiting to hear from us. That's why we have this Bible study. He wants to hear from each and every one of us. Thank you, my brothers and sisters, on tonight. I thank you all for listening. I ask God to continue to touch your hearts, touch your families. I pray for each and every one of you all. And I thank God for you, and I thank you, oh, Lord. I thank you, my sister. I thank you, my sister Diane. Lord, you just don't know the changes that you have made in my life. And I thank you, and I ask God to continue to bless you. In the holy name of Jesus Christ, amen, and thank God.
Amen, and thank you so much, Sister Pam, and thank you for the encouragement. And I want you to know the lady that asked for the prayer for the Floyd family and her boys. That's Dustin. That's Diane. That's the McBrides. And I know you carry the McBrides in your heart and pray for them all the time. That's their mother, Diane McBride. So
yes,
you the one always
mm-hmm.
do the prayer. And I know you call their name out every month. So I was just letting
mm-hmm.
you know.
Okay.
And God, we asking that you help us with our children, dear God, protect them. Lord, it's usually said that we need more laws. But, Lord, we have laws already, and nobody's following the laws. The problem with the police and brutality and racism and all that, it's not a law problem, dear God. It's a heart problem. So I'm asking that you just please circumcise their hearts, dear God. Prick their hearts and change it from stone. Hallelujah. Please, Lord Jesus, because then and then only will we have a change. But Lord, we thank you. We trust you. We depend on you. We're going to lean on you, dear God, for everything. We're going to hold on to the confession of our faith, and we're going to lean on your grace, because your grace is sufficient. And that's it for tonight, everybody. God be with you till we meet again. Be blessed. Have a great night's sleep. See you next week, if God says the same.